eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to On the Bench. I am Brendan Sinone. As promised yesterday, we have a special guest on today's OTB. It is the CEO of Seminole Boosters, Michael Alford. Michael, welcome to On the Bench yet again, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, Brendan. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well. I'm excited for a little FSU Miami action this weekend. Looking forward to that, and I'm sure you are too. This is going to be your first home game with Miami at Doak, right?
No doubt. That, you know, you go back and having being a son of a father who was a college coach and just kind of growing up in this business, right? You go back to the great games and you grew up on them. I remember in college of working it out with Coach Polk at Mississippi State that, hey, coach, practice needs to be done. Our fall ball practice needs to be done by 2:30 because we're in Mississippi, 2:30, so we can catch the 3:30 Florida State Miami game, get us back to our apartments. Back in the 90s, you know, my favorite play of all time that is just ingrained in my head is Matt Fryer's catch on the sideline against Miami and taking it to the house, and to see his speed, being a receiver, seeing his speed break away on that catch. You know, it's just great moments, and I can't wait to see a Doak Campbell Stadium brought to life with the Canes in town.
What has it been like for you this year? And last year was so weird for so many reasons, but with the pandemic, to see Doak having crowds with people enjoying themselves, getting to campus and kind of be able to show the things that you guys are doing as boosters to elevate the experience. What's that been like so far this season for you?
Well, it's been great. You know, it's been great just walking the concourse, talking to our fans, getting feedback, sharing with them what we're bringing in the future, some of our visionary elements that are going to help their game experience and improve what we're trying to do and improve their experience for, because it's a commitment when they come to town. As you know, you've heard me talk about this before, we're a $100 million revenue driver to Leon County and Tallahassee community. Mm-hmm. And 60% of our fan base travels over 3 hours to get here on a Saturday. So that is a monetary commitment and a time commitment. So it's on us to make sure that we're doing our part and making sure that game experience and fan experience is top notch and accustomed to and worth their travel. So it's something we're really working on and proud that we've got some great partners who are helping us.
Since you arrived here, I believe it was last July, so it's been about a year and a half. There's been a lot of initiatives that you've taken, and we've seen a lot of great numbers in terms of growth of booster contributions. But just collectively, Michael, it might be tough to pinpoint it to one thing. What are you most pleased with right now of the state of Seminole Boosters, and I guess something that's grown or changed during your time here?
Without a doubt, is the response we have received to joining the annual fund. We're not there yet, but the annual drive is part of our long-term plan to increase our investment in the athletics program, because it all goes to support our student athletes. It supports their academic, their athletic, their life goals of 500 plus student athletes. And a lot of people don't realize we're a self-sustaining athletic department. I mean, it costs us about $60,000 per year per scholarship athlete that we pay to the university. So without that core group of donors, none of that is possible. And so something I talk about, I was speaking at an engagement down south in Tampa area the other day to a group, and I reminded them that every time a student athlete graduates, they should feel a little part of that. Because we are providing those resources. Every time Coach Kerkorian wins an ACC championship in soccer, they should have some pride, of course, in that, but understand that their monetary commitment and assistance allowed us to provide the resources for that championship to occur. So behind every one of those achievements, accomplishments, there's a group of donors being self-sustaining. So I just want to thank everyone who is a member of Seminole Boosters for allowing us to make a difference in these student athletes' life. To give you a little summary of last year, you know, we got up to 12,000 donors, you know, where we were just at 9,000 when I got here in the first year. So we added a great group of donors to over 2,000 new donors. Really proud that 850 plus upgraded their giving from the previous year. So we reached our revenue goal. And by reaching our revenue goal, it allows us, one, to fully fund all the scholarships. It allowed us to renovate the Moore Center weight room, all new equipment, weights, flooring, which impacts every single team that we have. Due to some donor support, Bruce and Ann Harrell, we were at the football hype tunnel. We're in CD phase of the football facility. We've brought in legends to enhance our student athlete dining, which is very important, something that we're trying to do and set us ourselves apart right now is the science of the nutrition elements for our student athletes. So there's a lot going on. We just had a campaign and did soccer and softball video boards. We'll be going in for the student athlete experience and the fan experience in August. So something I'm really proud of is just the support of what the vision that we've laid out and the partners that we formed with our donor base to allow us to make a difference in these student athletes' experiences.
Chris Knee has not been able to join me today. He's picking up his son from school right now, but he wanted me specific. I'm going to cross this off the list of questions to ask about updates on softball scoreboards for softball and soccer. So, right. So check it off the boxes here.
Those two programs, Lonnie and Coach Corian, do such an amazing job of a team culture. And then you go see what they got to compete against recruiting wise. You go to North Carolina, go to some of these places with what the soccer facilities are there. And we have a great soccer facility, but the student athletes deserve it. And the fans that support that program deserves the very best. And that's something that we're proud to say that our fan base has stood up for both those programs and allowed us to make this happen for them.
I've seen like firsthand, like just walking around campus, like when there's a softball game and, you know, I'll be with a ranked opponent, the atmosphere for those contests is really cool. How, you know, people talk about, you know, whether a sport's a revenue sport or a non-rev sport and athletics so much. I think you lose sight like of what it does for the community. It's not just, you know, parents that show up. There's students and, friends and beyond family members, just people in Tallahassee that show up and watch all the sports. And so that's why it's so cool to see the commitment that's widespread throughout the entire athletic department.
100% correct. You know, our goal always is to support the educational mission of the university, but also our goal every year is to provide championship level support for championship teams and student athletes. And we can't do it without the passionate fans and donors who step up and allow us to make that happen.
Something that you mentioned earlier, so for the scholarship for, you know, an individual student athlete, about $60,000. 15, 20 years ago, that number was what? Probably like maybe a third of that?
Probably about $10,000.
That's incredible for, you know, that much, for it to go up that much in that period of time. That's something that you guys are working towards as a booster at both FSU's athletic program and for some of the boosters. We talk about, you know, scholarship endowment and what that means. Like, what is the ultimate goal for you guys in terms of being able to pay for these scholarships in different ways?
Yeah, and just joining the annual fund, just joining Seminole Boosters at any level. That's something I'm very proud to say is we've got our membership levels up to 12,000. 40% of those members are non-season ticket holders. And we've had a huge jump in that area. It's the highest number that we've had in many, many, many years, going back and looking. And that speaks to our message that, yes, you may not be able to buy tickets, but you can help us support these student athletes' life goals, whether that's educationally, what they're doing athletically, what we're able to provide them, life skills programs and leadership opportunities. So when you see someone graduate, you should all take pride in that because you know as a donor that you had an impact on what we were able to provide that student athlete.
With this being the beginning of your annual campaign, I think the number going around right now is that 2%, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, that 2% of FSU graduates currently are athletic boosters. I guess, how does that number compare to other programs in similar footprint and areas, mm-hmm. Florida State? And I guess, where's the goal for you guys, I guess, this year and then long-term?
Oh, long-term, a lot of goals. But right now, even getting up to 12,000, we had such a great year. We still rank sixth in the ACC for the number of annual donors. Okay. We have the largest living alumni base by over 50,000 within our own conference. North Carolina is second. We have 380,000 living alumni. So athletic giving is less than 2% of our living alumni. So if we want to be the best, if we want to earn championships, we must have a championship approach in everything we do. And that begins with our ability to support our program because those funds go to support the scholarships, joining the annual fund. Those funds go to allow us to have the resources to put in a new weight room that affects all 20 programs, allows us to be able to put in life skills programs for these student athletes. It goes to the operational, the nutritional needs of these student athletes. It allows us to make a difference there. So that is where the funds by joining the annual fund is going. It is going to 100% support these student athletes and the ability that the resources we're allowing them or providing them to be successful in all their endeavors.
Since it's basketball season, men's hoops just tipped off last night. Basketball just had a facility update not too long ago, but any plans mm-hmm. of what you guys want to do with men's hoops and to support Coach Ham?
Oh, 100%. I had a meeting with Coach Ham and Coach Sue the other day, and actually we have people on campus today meeting with both of them.
Nice.
I'm looking at recruiting paths. They have a recruiting path in their practice facility that has not been updated since 2012. The timeline stops at 2012. I want to say we've had a few great players and some accomplishments come through since then.
Yes.
So we're just kind of looking at the recruiting path, everything in facility and vision that I talked to our coaches about is how it impacts, number one, the current student athlete. Number two, how it impacts the incoming student athlete. What can we do to make a difference and what they're competing against? So we have a design team in today, working with them, getting ideas about what do they need to set their two programs apart long-term. Not, hey, let's do something here that will make a difference over the next 3 weeks, but let's see what we can do long-term for these programs to be continue to be extremely successful 5-10 years from now. What are we going to do that's going to make a difference? So we're working with them on there, and we have some ideas we've presented to them and getting feedback. And all of that takes time because then we'll put together a campaign around it. But before the campaign, we got to have a vision of exactly what they need to be successful. And that's what we're working on right now. And we're doing that with several programs. I'm talking to our baseball program about what do they need to be successful. Volleyball, what Coach Poole does in volleyball over in Tully Gym with that facility is amazing to me that he's a top 20 program every year. We're talking to him long term. What do you need to be successful? So it's about just putting together a plan of what is needed, a long term vision, and then consistently knocking off or checking those boxes of those facilities so that all your programs can be successful and you're continuously upgrading your facilities for your programs.
You mentioned baseball. I know a lot of people fan base will talk about Dick Houser Stadium and the need for renovations there or what to do with it. I guess any insight you can offer us on baseball and plans to help out what's been just a rock solid program, obviously for decades now.
Yeah, we once again, you look where he's recruiting against. Florida just built their new facility. You go up to Athens, you look at, of course, Mississippi State has the best facility in the country. I just toured Miami's baseball facility to see what they did. So we're just looking at our peers and want to keep up. You call it keeping up with the Joneses, right? But it literally is. And it's what are we doing or what little things can we do? But then what can we plan for long term to have success for that program and to give those students and that program the facilities and the resources they need and deserve to be successful and compete at a national level. So we're just formulating a plan around that. If you ask me, you know, there are some updates I want to see to the baseball facility. But when we do it, we want to do it first class and do it right the first time. So we're doing some research on that as well.
I really appreciate, Michael, that you're always willing to say, hey, there's someone out there that this is what we're competing against facility-wise. You don't sugarcoat it that way. It's a realistic viewpoint, and I think hopefully people listening to that are appreciative of it as well. You're not putting your head in the sand and saying, you know, everything's fine. We don't have to keep evolving in these areas. Like, that's your job, and you're very realistic about it. It's appreciated. So people are probably hearing you talk about facility updates and keeping up with the Joneses, and, you know, most of this podcast listenership is in love with FSU football. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, we talked about the football ops facilities previously. Any updates on where that is in terms of breaking ground? And I guess the, mm-hmm. you know, what you guys have, so that's one part of the question. Is there going to be a date for groundbreaking at this point that you have lined up? And then two, any updates in terms of what you guys have added to fundraising for that?
Thanks for bringing it up. I haven't been asked that question in the last 4 hours. So I appreciate it.
I had multiple people say, hey, ask Michael about, I've got like 3 text messages since this morning when I was asking around for different ideas. Ask about football facilities. I know, very original of me.
I'll tell you, we're in construction design phase, CD phase, which allows us to also do, you see, construction documents. And so we design it, then we come up with construction documents, and then we go to bid. That's a 10 to 12 month process. Poplis is actually, it's funny, I got Jack Porter, who's the best storyteller in my eyes, who's looking at a master plan for our facilities graphics and telling our story and recruiting, and they're in town. Poplis, our sports architects, are in town today, also talking about the new football locker room and Doak Campbell that starts as soon as the season's over and renovating it. So that will be done by spring practice when our student athletes return. I'll be walking into a new up-to-date locker room because we need that to recruit for them until we get the football-only facility built. Mm-hmm. But we have raised about $54 million. For that facility. We're in construction document phase, so we don't know a final price. I can count tile and give a good estimation, but we're working on that right now. And that's a 10 to 12 month process. Waiting for coach, we'll have a lot of input as soon as the season's over into what's going in that facility. And then we'll be able to send that out to bid to a construction company as we continuously raise money for it. But we've having good success. People are stepping up. You know, our plan also includes a stadium redevelopment and improving the fan experience at Doak along with the football facility. You know, there's a stat, and this is my research, but of the 65 Power Five programs, 58 have a dedicated football facility or at least space to enhance their student athlete experience. And then renovating the Moore Center to enhance the student athlete experience will also be a priority. So it's going really well. We're getting there. Only 2 ACC schools don't have a football facility, us and Miami. So it also allows us by building that facility to give football what they need. But you don't know the impact it's going to have on the other 19 sports. It's going to be dramatic, because it allows them their better weight room times, better training room times in the Moore Center, so they can schedule their classes a little bit more lenient to their schedule. So it has an impact on all of our programs. But I can tell you it's going really well. People are receptive, and we're having a lot of success, and I'm excited to roll out some of the things that are going to be in that building as soon as we go through this next phase.
I was going to make a joke about Miami not having a 100-yard indoor practice facility, but I will restrain myself and be professional. Speaking of football, the direction of the football program currently, people that listen to this podcast know that I've been adamant and say, you know, Mike Norvell, I think he's doing a really good job coaching with some deficiencies. And this is a program that's had a lot of change the last couple of years. And there's something to be said for stability. I think a good portion of the fan base, Michael, understands that. I think there's some, and maybe even a vocal minority that isn't happy. For you, you get to work with Mike Norvell much closer than I do, and then anyone on the outside looking in does as well. Thoughts on him, his vision right now, and the job that he's doing for this program and the vision he has long-term for FSU?
No, I just got off the phone with him a little while ago about a few things going on this weekend. So it's, you know, you talk about long-term and investing in football, and that is part of our revenue strategy for the entire department and everything that we do, of course. But we're moving in the right direction. I understand sometimes the scoreboard doesn't reveal that, but we needed a culture change, and we can see that change happening on and off the field. You see a huge difference in effort amongst our players. You know, I love to go to practice for 10 or 15 minutes, and especially in times like this, when teams are struggling, and look at the body language of the players, and they are full throttle. You see the fight and the effort has not left. And he's establishing accountability and accountability culture. And I'm a big believer in culture wins, and the things that he's installing into that program for the long term. Well, it has us in the right direction. And you see the accountability side, because football's seen the highest team GPA for three straight semesters. And with an established culture of accountability and effort, you move into stability and depth. And that's kind of the next step he's installing, which will allow the coaches to develop not only our current student athletes, but the recruiting that's going on and how well it's going to create the depth. And those are programs that our donors invest in. And he and I laugh because it's very similar what we're doing on the annual fund side. We're trying to get our donor base up to the numbers that allows us to create some kind of stability every year into our program. And then we're allowed to go out and do these facility projects and get even higher group of donors to join us and partners with us, which creates the depth. So it's a lot in the same mind frame that he and I are going about trying to make a difference in our programs. But you talk about football as well. People don't realize something like 82% of our roster are either freshmen or sophomores, so underclassmen, and like 68 are freshmen all in. So it's an amazing what he's doing right now. But you see the effort and accountability on that team, and he has us pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, and I haven't articulated up to this point. Like, this is a likable team. I know they're struggling with wins and losses, but like, this team does play hard and there is effort. And to me, man, like, that's progress. It's a team that I think I wish everyone saw, like, just saw that aspect of it. Like, it's a team that does play really hard and is likable. It hasn't always been that way.
And young progress. Second year in a row, we're the youngest team in Power Five football.
And young. Yep. There's a replenishing and a reloading going on, as you said. All right. Last thing, Michael, anything, you know, you guys are starting your annual campaign, anything that you want to promote right now before I let you go?
No, we just want to thank everyone for their support. Thank each and every supporter, and just to ask for their continued support, continued investment in our vision. It's so important that the vision that we're laying out and the plans for the future that we're laying out need support. And just to help us be a championship program and more importantly, provide those winning edge resources to our student athletes. Because at the end of the day, we're here to support the educational mission of the university to graduate our student athletes. We graduate them at a high 85%, which is higher than the student body. We have a 3.3 department GPA, which is higher than the student body. We're doing the right things. Kids are graduating, going to class, and making a difference in their community and serving over 5,000 hours in the community service. So you got a great group of student athletes here that need support, and the way to support them is by joining the annual fund.
And if people want to go ahead and do that, I guess, where would you direct them to go? And I will provide a link on the story later on Friday morning when we go ahead and post this.
Yes, Bess, we just rolled out a new website. It makes it real easy. I trust me, I got a lot of emails about fixing the website. And that was when I first got here. When I joined the boosters, I went online. It's like, all right, this one, the easiest thing that was ever done. We need to make this a lot more convenient, but go to boosters.fsu.edu. I teased Daryl Beach, who handles our marketing, is just doing just a marvelous job of our social media, and our social media is up 400%. This is a way we communicate with our donors. But she wrote out a new website. We're taking all kinds of currency. I said, all right, are we taking the loonie? Are we taking the Canadian loonie yet, Daryl? But we will take anything. But really excited about what she's doing, and the new website should make it very convenient. But boosters.fsu.edu, or you can just go to Seminoles.com, and there's a link there as well.
Dogecoin? Bitcoin?
Right. You name it. We're going to figure out a way to take it.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining me here on the bench. Really appreciate it. Let's keep our fingers crossed for a fun game this weekend against the U, huh?
No doubt, Brendan. Thank you. It's always great to talk to you. Appreciate all you do. Appreciate all the support you give us and the support you give our student athletes by getting our message out. And thanks to you and your group, and thanks to everyone listening. Go Noles, and let's get the Canes this weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.